Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Well, you can't say we didn't try. We're working on it. We're going to get there. I feel very confident that we are going
to
get there.
I would just go as far as say we didn't even fail there. We tried.
We weren't
quite successful, but we also did not fail.
But I think people are kind of getting an idea where it's going.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I got a text on the private talking text line. Turns out we've got some people who are starting to figure out what's happening.
I could just say this. The calculations in my head were way off.
I was going to say, when I discovered the information regarding this, I was floored. So whatever you got in your mind, triple it.
Yeah, so folks are weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. John in MKE says, sounds like Chewy bought a few suits for $4,000 a pop. And then Ben says...
Oh, well, I will say this, Jen. I got 20% off.
I didn't know Deals. That part. I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea. And then it says, so between the belts and the shoes, we're already up to $2,000, says Ben in the 414. So, yes, people out there are doing some math. But as Joshy said, you might want to be using your times tables on this one as opposed to the addition symbol. We're talking about the Bears and Packers, that game this weekend. Of course, a big game, lots of emotion behind it. We've talked a little bit about what has been said at the podium. And listen, folks, yes, we're trying. Folks are like, are we going to get this story or what? We're working on it, okay? You're a little skittish, if we're being honest, right, Chew? Because you're afraid that admitting what you did and how it was received by the home front, you know.
Well, I will say that Angie calls her dad 1972 Bob because he thinks everything today should cost like it does. Put me at 1996, which would be fair.
I think it's tremendous.
1996 Mark.
Yeah. All right, I'm sweating.
Moving
here. Let's move on.
We've sufficiently got Chewy uncomfortable. It's time to talk a little more football.
Twice, this and the picture are the only times I've ever seen this man uncomfortable. Yes. That is it. He has walked past me reeking like nothing you have ever smelled before, and he's proud of that. So that's what it takes for this man to be uncomfortable.
To be embarrassed. All right, let's get to Jeff Hafley, because obviously this is a guy's name who's been brought up multiple times when it comes to the coaching searches. We all know that there are a number of openings. I think it was 7 at last check in the NFL. And there are people who think that Jeff Hafley will be a head coach in the league. Well, Jeff Hafley was asked about that yesterday, right, Joshy? Here's what he had to say about his attention on, yes, his long-term goals in the industry, but also what he has in front of him.
I'll tell you this, it's hearing my name out there, that's obviously extremely flattering and very humbling, right? And I think when you work for an organization like the Packers and have a head coach like Matt and players like we do and a defensive staff like we do, I'm just honored to be in those. I think right now with all that stuff, it can be a distraction. So I'm trying to lock in on these playoffs and do the best that we can. And then whenever that time comes, we'll figure it out and go from there. But extremely honored and flattered. You know, just to be mentioned, then you asked me that question. But for right now, this is the Bears. I mean, this is one of the biggest rivalries in all of football, one that I have watched for a very long time. Did not end the way we wanted to the last time we played there. So I am going to do everything in my power to focus on every minute that I have to give this organization and our players everything I got to go win this game.
My gosh, this guy, I mean, every time he steps in front of a microphone, I'm ready to run through a brick wall for him.
Yeah, I don't know how he doesn't ace any interview that he ends up giving in the head coaching cycle. But he had also talked about, you know, the last time they played the Bears. He thought they played 59 minutes of pretty good defense, and it wasn't good enough. So it ends up being a teaching moment about how it needs to be. We hear that all the time. It needs to be the full 60 minutes. And I mean, there's a way to do it. Yes, this can be a distraction, but you look at what the Philadelphia Eagles did last year. Kellen Moore's name kept coming up, and Kellen Moore ended up getting a head coaching job after the Super Bowl. So that's the example I would use of somebody who had to deal with this all throughout their playoff run a year ago for Philadelphia and still found a way to be successful. And I trust in Hafley, even though that distraction is out there. And Chu, I know you had to live through that distraction in 98 before Holmgren left. Hell, you had to deal with it in 97 because that's when those rumors had started as you guys were making your second Super Bowl run around Holmgren wanting to be both a head coach and general manager, probably somewhere else because Ron wasn't going anywhere. So there are still ways that even though that distraction exists, he and the defense can still be successful on Saturday.
I agree, but kind of have to grade them on a scale. I don't care what you say. They were playing without their two best receivers. So if the Packers are playing without Christian Watson and Jaden Reed, it's a little different offense you're facing, okay? Because Adunze is going to play and Burden's going to play. Those are their one and two. So this isn't just going to be DJ Moore in Loveland at tight end. He's going to have to play this a little bit different than he did the last game. And I have confidence in him. But the task is going to be a little tougher.
Let me ask you this, Chu.
By the way, Evan Williams also did not play for the Packers, so it's going to be different for the Packers defense as well.
I mean, much both teams are at full strength.
I want to get to what Evan Williams said as well because I thought it was very insightful when he was talking about Hafley and the way that Hafley has coached them over the season and how it allows them to play freely. But when you talk about grading on a curve, doesn't Hafley get graded on a curve for losing Micah Parsons? Right? Like, that was the key ingredient to this soup. And he lost the key ingredient. And has he made something that is as tasty? No, but still been pretty. You can swallow it, right? Like to use the metaphor.
I don't know if you can. Last time we had the starters out there, it was as bad as I can remember.
Well, let me ask you this then. Does his reputation take a hit for not being able to put something, as you're saying, out as appetizing as it was when one of the best defensive players in the league was there?
I would think so. Now, again, against the Bears, it was good. Against the Ravens, it wasn't as good. But if you're a team looking for a head coach and he's going to call your defensive plays, wherever he's going, it's not going to have Micah Parsons, right?
Yeah, but let me ask you this.
So you have to figure out a way to be – and look, they're not going to be as good without Micah. It's just not possible. But they didn't have Micah last year, and they still put together a pretty good fight against the Philadelphia Eagles in that playoff game. So you still have to find a way to not give up 300 yards on the ground the way that you did against the Ravens, because even if the Bears rush for 200 yards, like that's probably going to be the end of your season. You've got to be better against the run, mm-hmm. and he's got to find those answers.
But back to Hafley being a head coach next year, and we all think there's a possibility of him doing what Ben Johnson did because he had opportunities 2 years ago to become a head coach. He said, no, I want to make one more run at it with Detroit. You think the fact that Micah Parsons, we anticipate being out for the first six games, kind of that goes by the wayside?
I don't know.
Are you saying that would Micah Parsons coming back convince Jeff Hafley to stay in Green Bay as the defensive coordinator and spurn? Right?
No.
He's saying the other way because Micah's not going to be there.
He's going to be out for six games and you're not going to have him for a third of the season.
You think would that accelerate his moving on?
No?
I don't think so. I guess it depends upon the job. Like if the Browns offer Hafley the job, I don't know if he takes it. Or if he goes, there's probably something better. Because there's a lot of Deshaun Watson's getting charged $80 million, right? That cap hit is there and it's all guaranteed money, so it's hard to wiggle your way out of what that cap charge is going to be this year for the Browns. So if the Browns offer the job, I don't know. If the Giants offer the job, he's gone.
What about Baltimore?
If Baltimore offers the job, he gone.
And Baltimore's typically a defensive. The first thing you do when you think of Baltimore from years past is, okay, this is a defensive.
Well, especially
team.
The Super Bowl win.
Yeah. But again, for all intents, there are seven jobs open right now, but for all intents and purposes, he's only going to get five of those because Harbaugh and Stefanski are going to get hired before him.
Yeah.
So. But maybe he wows because Baltimore is one of the jobs that obviously Harbaugh can't get. So maybe he wows them in Baltimore if he gets an opportunity there. I don't know.
But again, to go back to what we said when we started this conversation, he's going to, right? Every time we hear from this guy,
yes.
He says the right thing. It's passionate. It's relevant. You're very excited to hear what he has to say about any given topic. And I want to get to what he has said, the message he has sent to the defensive players. And you tell me what your reaction to this is, okay? Evan Williams said, "One thing Halfley says a lot in our meetings leading up to games is, let the mistakes be on us. Any mental mistakes you make during the game, that means we didn't coach you enough. Don't think about that during the game. We want you playing fast, physical, holding our play still as long as you can." And Evan Williams said, "Me personally, that definitely allowed me to play a lot more free, took the worry of, oh, I'm going to make the wrong play here off of my shoulders." Brilliant. Right? Yeah. Because most coaches are going, "No, that wasn't me. We coached them to do it differently, and they just bleeped up on the field." And Evan Williams is saying, no. Halfley's going, if you make a mental mistake on the field, which most people would go, that's on the player, Coach Halfley is saying, that's on me. And I love this psychology, Gabe. I really do.
Yeah. Now, there are instances where he can't cover for everyone at all times, because he started the press conference talking about the mental mistake that Keyshawn Nixon made the last time they played the Chicago Bears. Tough to cover for the player in that instance, right? You can't always cover for the player when it's painfully obvious to the world what just happened.
Yeah.
But, Chu, how great would that have been if you had a coach who said, listen.
Oh, I love it.
You go out there and make a mental mistake, that's not on you, that's on us.
And Andy Reid always told me, he's like, you're not sure what you're doing or you're out there, just do whatever it is 110%. And my worry against the Bears is more of effort than it is assignment, you know?
But that's only one player you're worried about.
No, not really.
Rashawn?
Yeah.
Just like,
who else has shown that they're not given the requisite effort?
Obviously, I said it yesterday or the day before, I'm very concerned about the run game, because if the Bears can run the ball, it's going to be a different deal, which goes to your defensive line. And when I was watching End Zone Boy break this down, I mean, these double teams, they had D linemen 3 yards down the field. Now, I don't know if that's a lack of effort or you just aren't very good or the guy across from you is that much better than you, but that cannot happen again. You know, you have to be stout at the point of attack. And if you're not, and he broke it down very well. He's like, okay, contact was made with the running back for the Bears at 4 yards, and then the pile was winding up at 7 or 8 yards. That can't happen, because 2nd and 3 is so easy. You know, 2nd and 8 or 2nd and 7, you still got a fighting chance. 2nd and 3, you have no chance. And there were a lot of those. So I don't know if you want to call that effort or whatever you want to call it, but I'm just saying that can't happen.
What's your concern level when I tell you this, guys? The Bears are 10-1 when they win the turnover battle this season. This is the Packers defense that hasn't had as many turnovers as we thought that they were going to have, as we continue talking about Jeff Halfley and his impact on this squad.
So I was looking at those turnover numbers as well, Jen. They're 2-6 when they only get one turnover. One or less turnovers, the Bears are 2-6. So they need to get multiple turnovers.
But
so you can make that one mistake the way Jordan did in the first game, and you can still go on and win the way that they did in that first game. And, I mean, we saw it against San Francisco. They got a pick six to start off that game. And they still gave up 42 points. And Jordan's good at avoiding those turnovers. Now, the ones that he has are, what the hell was that? But it doesn't typically happen multiple times in a game. So if you clean up the turnovers, I don't know if you necessarily need to force the turnovers to get to play even with them, because they need multiple turnovers in order to have the success that they've had this year.
But it's not like the Packers haven't had opportunities. They had one against Minnesota where it hit the DB right in the breadbasket and he dropped it.
Yeah, Chu. Unfortunately, I think that's happened at least once a game for like the last 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, we all know how turnovers can determine the outcome of a game.
Well, and the Bears have the most takeaways in the NFL this season at 33, that according to ESPN stats and information. So, again, while we're talking about the Packers defense, we're talking about opportunities to get an edge in this game against the Bears. I think you have to sort of circle and highlight takeaways.
I think you, as long as you avoid the turnovers, like I'm not relying on the Packers to get takeaways, because that hasn't been a strength of this defense. But if Caleb throws you one, we talked about that after Micah went down. You can't have those plays because Micah's not there to erase them if you don't make them. Like, if Caleb gives you an opportunity, you got to take advantage. But I don't think that that's going to be as big of a... Because, again, the Bears rely on it so much as a defense. They need multiple turnovers. And Jordan's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at not throwing interceptions.
All right. Last word, apparently. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What do we got to get to today? What is today? Thursday?
Yep. 8 at 8.
Oh, damn it, Chew.
Thank you.
We had the opportunity to just see if she was going to get it.
Stumper.
Oh, sorry. All
right. I appreciate you,
pal. Too nice of a guy.
Yeah. What I say after, about Chew all the time. What
after
a nice
after
guy.
She tried to excavate the suit story.
Oh, I was doing it singularly? I was. That was a solo mission, was
I think
it?
My microphone stopped working that
we
segment.
We didn't discuss it during the break or anything. I was talking to myself, I suppose.
You decided, hey, I'm going to grab the ball and try to score here.
I think we did a pretty good job, again, excavating some details. Folks are starting to pick up the scent.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're getting ready to propose, of course, you already know what I'm going to say. The Jewelry Center, it's the only place to go for the ring. They're the go-to spot for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Of course, it's what I did. Because it was the only place. I've known Dean the Dancing Machine at the Jewelry Center for years. And the teams that he has put together in Greenfield, Brookfield, Burlington, and Mequon, they're unbelievable. They're always going to point you in the right direction. That's, to me, what separates the Jewelry Center from everybody else. Now, maybe you don't know what your significant other's looking for in a ring, but if she's got a Pinterest board, bring that into the Jewelry Center. The specialists take it from there and make the whole process easy. Naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for, they've got it. Again, this can be a stressful process, but the Jewelry Center makes it easy. Check out the inventory at one of the four locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, Burlington, and Mequon, or online, shoptjc.com. Best place for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee. It's the Jewelry Center.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
attaboy.
Works.
Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Can you feel it? It's the thrill of witnessing a walk-off grand slam, a game-winning touchdown, a buzzer-beating three. You know the feeling. And there's only one place to experience that raw exhilaration, and it's the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Catch all the action in a supreme space with dozens of sports betting kiosks, cool drinks, luxurious seating, great food, a fiery atmosphere, and a monster video wall. Maybe someone here on the show will be watching a few college football playoff games at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Can't be sure, but if you want to become a legend, you can do it at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. More information, of course, available online. Must be 21 years old to enter the casino.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
List of 8 things in front of me, you and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open up to the fans, 800-990-3776. The category today, and the last time the Packers played the Bears in the playoffs was the 2010 NFC Championship game. There are 8 players in that game for the Packers that either had a rushing attempt or a reception. Name those 8 players.
Oh, boy. So this was the NFC Championship game right before they went to the Super Bowl and won
Correct.
It against the Steelers. All right. Archiving. Chew. I almost said Chase. Hey, shout out to Chase, by the way. It's his 17th birthday today.
Hey!
Chase,
my kiddo. Happy birthday.
Yeah. 17's a weird one because, like, 16, ooh, you get to drive. 18, ooh, you get to...
Be an
I don't
adult?
Know, do scratch-off tickets or something? I don't know, something. 17's like this weird space. Anyway, sorry, I almost called you Chase. Rushing or, say it again?
A rushing attempt or a reception. 8 players had a rushing attempt or a reception.
That's a good list. I have to go first, huh?
I mean, I'll go.
Unless Chewy wants to.
Greg Jennings. No, he's not on there.
No, Greg Jennings is on the list. Yeah. But I thought we just decided Chewy went, and then it seems like you panicked and just said a name. But yes, Greg Jennings had a heck of a game
when
that day.
When I saw your face, I was like, there's no way Greg Jennings did not have
Greg game. Jennings had eight catches for 130 yards in that game. So yes, Greg Jennings is on the list.
La, 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 la. Let's go with Gordy.
Jordy Nelson had four catches for 67 yards in that game.
It's funny because I am using the Sports Illustrated cover to remind me of who all was on that roster that season, because obviously those were their offensive weapons. Why can't I remember anything else? Say it one more time, please.
In the 2010 NFC Championship game against the Bears, eight players had a rushing attempt or a reception. Name those players.
Oh.
You have Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson.
Okay, so would it count? Shoot, I don't know. Joshy, I need a judgment here. The B.J. Raji touchdown was in that game, was it not?
That's not going to count as an attempt.
That's what rushing. I thought.
That's an interception.
I got one.
So there's interesting language here that would include somebody you probably wouldn't normally think of.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
All right, go ahead, Chew.
Well, I'm not going to say his name, but I'll go with another name.
What do you mean you're not going to say his name?
Voldemort?
Josh, what should I do?
Just say it.
I got another obscure.
Well, then go obscure.
Starks.
James Starks.
James Starks had 22 carries for 74 yards and a touchdown. Also had a reception for 6 yards.
Famously.
So James Starks on the list.
Well, that's who I was going to guess next, so blast it.
How about the quarterback, Jen?
Do I have to?
Sure.
Why not? Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers had 7 rushing attempts, 39 yards, and a touchdown in the game against the Chicago Bears.
All right, who do we have so far?
You have Aaron Rodgers, you have James Starks, you have Greg Jennings, and Jordy Nelson. You have half of the list of the 8 players that had a rushing attempt or reception against the Bears in the 2010 NFC Championship game.
So you got another one?
Corliss?
Ooh. Andrew Corliss had 3 targets, but no receptions in the game.
The fact that you remember that Corliss was on the roster.
He's going to stick up for his tight end.
Tight end you. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Stick up for his
tight end. But I remember JerMichael was hurt. So.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. What about Double D? What about Donald Driver?
Donald Driver. 1 catch for 9 yards the game.
Jeez Louise.
So he is one of those players. So we just have 3 remaining.
Did you say fullback?
I did.
Did you say it out loud or did you say it in my ear?
Said in your ear.
Dang it.
Come on, Chewy. Come on.
Well, that would.
Josh is trying to help you out
just
behind the scenes.
It sounds exactly the same, okay? When you said it out loud,
The music goes off and it's just in your ear. Gabe's voice gets silenced.
You just roll with it, for goodness sakes. Man. John Kuhn.
John Kuhn. Had 1 rushing attempt for 2 yards. Also had a reception for 6 yards in that game. Just 2 left on the list. 8 players had a rushing attempt or reception in the 2010 NFC Championship game.
I think you could close this out if you really try.
What makes you think we're not really trying?
The fact that the Aaron Rodgers one didn't jump to everyone's mind right away.
I just feel like I've blocked him. Mentally, I've just blocked him. Chew, you got any more? I know you guessed Corliss, so you're technically out, but do you have any more?
It's got to be a runner.
Well, who else were the running backs for that team? You said James Starks, and he had the bulk of the responsibilities in that postseason run. And John Kuhn, we mentioned, is a fullback. I think he was the kid from Nebraska. What was that kid's name?
Lawrence Phillips?
No. Short little guy.
There's 1996 Mark coming out again.
You're
on a good path here. I don't know if you're going
to
get there.
I just, again, this is having to really go back into the archives here, man.
It was a very short stint. I shouldn't say
Turner
very short.
Gill?
It was It was.
All right. I need an answer. I need an answer.
Am I right? We're not just going to sit here. Josh, you said I'm on the right track.
Yeah, but we just can't sit here as you try to think of it.
You told me to try harder. This is me trying harder. Oh, gosh. What was that kid's name?
800-990-3776. We just need two more players that had a reception or a rushing attempt in the 2010 NFC Championship game.
I've been so busy trying to think about the running back. What about the did anyone say James Jones?
Nobody has said James Jones.
James Jones.
James Jones had a reception for 10 yards.
Okay. What was the name of that running back? 800-990-3776. It's not going to come to me. Like, I can see him. I can picture him. Like, I can describe him to you if you wanted.
Mike Rozier.
What?
You're going the other way, man.
All right, Joshua, what do we got?
Let's go do Dan in Sheboygan here first.
Good morning, Dan. Who's the running back I can't
isn't this not the infamous game of Randall Cobb catching that glorious touchdown?
No.
It is not. It is not. That game happened in 2013. That was a de facto NFC North championship game, but this was an actual playoff game when the Super Bowl was on the line. Randall Cobb not on the team yet in 2010.
800-990-3776. It looks like John in Milwaukee is up next for top 8 at 8. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Try to help you out here. And Brandon Jackson.
No!
Jackson.
That's exactly
who
I was
picturing. Two carries for 5 yards, one catch for 16 yards. Brandon Jackson, the 8th player on this list.
Brandon Jackson did go to Nebraska.
He did, yes. Yep. He absolutely went to Nebraska.
Gosh, darn it, I could picture
I thought you
face.
Were going to get there. I almost we'll thought you said Brandon. Like, I felt like you were ready to say the name Brandon for a minute there.
Well, maybe my brain was like, come on, Jen. You've got this. Don't embarrass yourself.
The Packers have also a seemingly long history of running backs that had very short stints. They all sort of had similar body types too, and they barely played for like a couple seasons and they were in and out. And some are injuries, some were just frankly not that good for any other reason.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers.
Remember they used to have that third down back. That was their thing. Who was number I remember another guy. This is kind of like, remember in that James Starks was kind of that guy.
The one I think of all the time, and his time was very short, and it was injury shortened, was Jonathan Franklin from UCLA.
Jonathan Franklin was another one. There's another guy.
There's Alex Green from Hawaii.
Alex Green from Hawaii.
Yeah. We're missing one, though.
You guys have any idea
like
what Brandon Montgomery? Jackson, former NFL player, is up to now?
I know he had a podcast at one point.
Really?
Yeah.
He is the running backs coach at Austin Peay.
Huh. Oh, really? Okay. Hmm.
Who would have thought?
He did lead the Packers in rushing for that entire regular season. He had 700 rushing yards.
Which is crazy because, again, Starks was like the guy in the postseason,
yeah,
right?
Because like they were just, Starks like wasn't available during the regular season because he was hurt. And then at the end of the regular season, he came on. And then in that Eagles game to start the playoff run, everyone's like, who the hell is this guy?
And you could not have had two more different body type
correct
running backs than James Starks and Brandon Jackson. I'm never going to forget that guy's name now. That's going to be seared into the memory.
Oh, Tony Fisher was that third down back.
Oh, man, that's from the early 2000s, yeah.
That is?
Yeah, yeah. Back? Yeah. But okay. Tony Fisher was a third down back, yeah.
Yeah.
From Notre Dame?
Yep. Good guy.
If I look up list of Packers running backs all time, first of all, Tony Fisher is not one that would have come
to
mind.
Well, no, he's not going to be anywhere near the top of the list in terms of production.
Well, that's the thing. I don't really want production. I just want a comprehensive list. Because to your point, Shu, they always do have guys who are just sort of workhorses, yeah, right? And Josh, you were saying like they're kind of there. There's a blip. They have an impact. And then, whoop, they slide out the back door. Side door, whatever. Don't. Just don't.
Wasn't going to do anything.
You said it. Yeah. Why are you yelling at us?
I was anticipating the commentary from the peanut gallery.
Well, at least let us comment first.
Yeah, I know.
Could have gotten a couple jokes
That's
off?
What the point was, don't.
Gabe, can I interest you in a Deshaun Wynn?
Oh, yeah. Deshaun Wynn, out of Florida, I want to say. I want to say Deshaun Wynn was out of Florida.
Look that up. Florida, correct.
Nice.
Noah Heron?
Oh, Noah Heron.
Yep.
Noah Heron was more of a special teams guy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that blast from your past.
Oh, man.
DeJuan Harris. I love DeJuan Harris.
Oh, great dreads. Just flowing out of the helmet as he's running past people.
So you can go on Pro Football Reference and you can pull up a comprehensive list of every single running back that has ever suited up for the Green Bay Packers. And then you can, what I just did, you can have it sort by date. So if we go back into the 90s and the 2000s, is that where you were?
Yeah, I'm just actually scrolling the list here. Kristen Michael.
Yeah, I'm surprised
Brandon
we haven't,
Sane.
Especially since we were just talking about back doors, I'm surprised we haven't talked about Najee Davenport yet.
You son of a biscuit.
Is he two on the list? See, you started it, Jen. You have no reason to be mad at
him. Don't forget about Cedric Benson.
Jonathan Franklin, Texas.
Yeah,
you guys mentioned Alonzo Harris, right? John Crockett. Again, these are all running backs who have suited up for the Green Bay Packers. Don Jackson in 2016.
Old Don's not ringing a bell.
No. Jamal Williams, obviously.
Sure, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Bibbs. Anybody remember a Bibbs? Capri?
Yeah, Capri Bibbs.
Capri Bibbs.
Good Lord. Dexter Williams, Tyler Irvin. Don't forget about Swervin Irvin.
Mm-hmm. Remember when the offense fell apart with
because they couldn't do the jet sweep motion?
Kylan Hill, 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Kenyon Drake.
One carry.
Anyway, that's a fun little game.
Just naming random dudes? Yeah, it is the best game. It is one of my favorite
games. Naming random dudes.
Sitting around the bar, have a couple pops, start naming random dudes.
Toted the rock for the Green Bay Packers. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
Hey, guys. If you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. They can help you if you're dealing with low testosterone. Well, how do you know? Well, maybe you've got low energy and motivation. Maybe you have some fatigue. You just feel like you're tired all the time. You got a little bit of weight gain, maybe a little bit of muscle loss, and you're just thinking, that's part of the aging process. But it doesn't have to be that way. Mentality is a local healthcare facility specializing in helping men feel and perform at their very best. They focus on free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can overlook, ensuring your treatment is tailored to your body. That's my favorite part of working with Mentality. It's not like you show up, they go, yep, here's what you need. See you later. No, it is a tailored solution for you and your low testosterone to make sure that your levels are constantly where they need to be. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be at your best for yourself and your family. Have that energy come roaring back. Burn off that belly fat and feel like yourself again, confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. Head over to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio, mentalityhealth.com/radio, to find out how to book an appointment.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
do.
Yes,
all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
College football playoffs continue tonight. You got Ole Miss. You got Miami. Tomorrow night, you got Oregon. You got Indiana. There was some conversation about what was the best story. Gabe, you and I don't know if we disagree on it, but I think Indiana is far and away the best story, but you make a case for Ole Miss as well.
Yeah, Ole Miss is, it's going to be a lot of fun. The job that Golding has done down there, that Pete since taking over, I mean, he doesn't know who's going to be on his staff from week to week because he doesn't know who he's losing to LSU. He's gotten their top two players to commit next year, so he signed their top two players. Now Trinidad Chambliss still has to get a waiver processed by the NCAA to get a sixth year of eligibility. He's been able to hit the transfer portal. Like, doing all of those things while also winning two college football playoff games is, I think it's pretty cool for Ole Miss.
And then there is this story out of Washington about their quarterback who says he's entering the transfer portal. Well, no big shock there, right? Guys are entering the transfer portal left and right. The number of people who are in the transfer portal is off the charts as we continue in this new era of college football. The problem with this young man, and I don't know, is his name DeMond?
Mm-hmm. DeMond Williams Jr.
Chew. Is that he signed a contract with Washington when they gave him $4 million of NIL money. That's what Pete Thamel is reporting. It's in the $4 million range. And that's near the top of the market. So when he enters the transfer portal, he is essentially in breach of contract.
Because the contract specifically says he cannot re-enter the transfer portal.
How do you think this all shakes out?
He'll lose the $4 million, right?
There's got to be more than that, though,
well,
right?
But
there's
got to
be some punishment, some penalization for, you saw, I saw it, for breaking the contract. It can't just be like, well.
Who?
That kind of becomes the issue. Now, they might have a better chance at this holding up in court now when this happened with Wisconsin, because Xavier Lucas had signed an NIL deal and then he transferred to Miami and didn't go through the transfer
portal.
Badgers
tried to enforce
yep.
that as well.
But I think the difference here, at least as I've been trying to figure out the story, is Xavier Lucas, that was like an NIL deal only. This also, I believe, include the revenue share. So that $20 million that everybody, you know, hypothetically has as part of the revenue share to spend on college athletes in addition to that every school should have, I think that is what is ultimately going to become more enforceable, because that seems like more of a legally binding contract with the university instead of NIL rights.
If they they want to enforce it, I think they should enforce the same thing on head coaches. Can't leave. Lane Kiffin can't go. Why are the kids having to operate under different circumstances? Because you changed the terms and you said, well, you have to stay there because we said so and because you signed this rev-sharing deal?
The contract has to mean something, right? Otherwise, what are we doing?
Oh, the only place contracts don't mean anything is college athletics. It's literally the only place. It's like Josh, you said, don't mean anything because look at Lane Kiffin. He's still profiting off of Ole Miss because he negotiated into his contract.
Well, that contract apparently holds up.
Yes.
You know, if you were Ole Miss, wouldn't you be like, actually, I know you signed a deal. I know we signed a deal that we would pay you the more success that Ole Miss has, but we changed our mind.
But his previous contract with Ole Miss obviously didn't mean anything because you got people who are willing to buy out your contract for you.
Okay, so if you're this kid and you guys are telling me that, yes, technically it's against the rules, but nobody's going to enforce it, why not?
Right.
And why doesn't this then open up the floodgates for guys to just be doing this over and over and over again? Not specifically one guy, but many guys. It doesn't, right?
No. And again, that's why I'm curious to see how this plays out in the legal system and whether or not, again, the rev share part of it ends up being more enforceable than the NIL portion for Xavier Lucas.
I don't know how the rev share stuff can work if you're not a collectivized unit. Like if
like
it's
a union, or
yeah.
A...
Like that to me is where it starts to fall apart. And who's going to enforce what? And who's going to stop him from saying, "Yeah, I know I signed a contract, and I'm supposed to not be able to go to X, Y, or Z." But guess what? I'm there now. What are you going to do?
I've already talked a little bit. Maybe Gabe and I were offlining about the cloak and dagger element of the new transfer portal and how coaches, while they're bringing in transfer portal guys to chat with, they're also trying to make sure that their current roster players don't know who's on campus, who they're wooing, who they're trying to bring in. Because guess what? You find out that they're bringing in a defensive end and you play defensive end, then whoop, you jump into the transfer portal. This feels like it would accelerate that secrecy. Because not only now do you not want to know when you're bringing you don't want anyone else to know who you've got until there's some sort of like lockdown. Because otherwise, what's going to stop an LSU who is the presumptive favorite to land this kid?
I can tell you this. They all know. They all know. Because the agents are so entrenched into this stuff. And you guys would be shocked. I mean, you talk about the quarterback. You guys would be shocked how much, like, offensive linemen are getting. Like, offensive linemen that are going to compete for a job.
Wait, I think I just saw this, actually. Obviously, quarterback is the top of the market. And those are anywhere. There are a few guys who are up above $5 million, which still blows my mind. But mostly about the $4 million, anywhere from $1 to $4 million. But I think I saw $1.5 million for offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
The kid at Indiana said he made like upwards of...
Coogan, the center who came from Notre Dame?
Yeah. Like and a lot of the kids who have now then not gone on to play in the NFL, they're not really shy about like, yeah, I had a lot of money. I was living a good life.
Well, that's why some of them stay.
Why do you think Trinidad Chambliss wants that sixth year?
These kids are such
He's
spoiled
not
going to
make $5 million, $6 million in the NFL right away.
They're such
Although I suppose
spoiled
if
little...
you were a first rounder, the money would be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're a first rounder.
They're such spoiled little brats. This is a guy who had to stretch his $40 per diem for about 3 weeks.
No, I know.
Just
because it sucked for you doesn't mean it should suck for everyone else.
Yeah, that's all the thing that matters to me.
You haven't picked up on that yet, Josh? Come on, man. Yeah. I just made that obvious.
It's the uncomfortable truth that Josh prefers to ignore. We'll take a break. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
When a trophy is raised, it can feel like the season is over. Just like in the college football season, right? But on the ESPN app, it never really is, because they've got more than 47,000 live events, originals, highlights, coverage from every corner of the sports world, so there is always something to dive into. There really is no off-season. You are always in season. Everything a fan needs to keep going, it's all on ESPN app, and you can download it today on your television or on your phone. Every week, our social media maven, Maddie Hayes, asks for our predictions for the games. Now, theoretically, we could hold this for tomorrow. But, Chu, if I'm picking up what you're putting down, it sounds like you think this might be a loss for the green and gold. Is that fair to say, or have you not made your decision yet?
Not yet, but I'm trending. Trending.
He's picking them to lose.
That direction.
He's picking them to lose.
I mean, I can tell you this. The last 4 weeks, I'm 4-0.
Well, because you've picked them to lose every week, and they've lost every week.
Yes.
And did you pick them to lose every week because Micah Parsons is out, and you feel like he's their only? Well, what is it?
I picked them to lose against Denver, and obviously he was part of that. But ever since then, I have picked them to lose. I kind of like the fight they're putting up. I just can't tell if it's false chatter. How much false chatter there is? I don't think it's false chatter coming from Josh Jacobs, but.
What percentage of false chatter does our big guy give us?
Oh, 95.
What?
Might be
what?
96.
He's like, why am I taking strays? There's 30 seconds left to the show.
And they'll call him 1996 Mark for nothing.
There you go. Fair.
Will D'Antosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.